Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sanyavari Pashtata Desha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Gobhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Praying from Srimad Bhaktivedanta 4 Chapter 3 Verse 4 Tasmin
Tasmin
Namarshayaha
Namarshayaha
Sarve
Sarve
Devashi
Devashi
Pitra
Devata
Asan
Krita
Swasyayana Tatpatnya Sha Sa Patraka Tasmin Brahmashayasave Devarshi Pitra Devata Asan Krita Swasthayana Tatpatnyas Chat Sabhartraka. Tasmin, in that, Brahmarshaya, Brahmarshis, Sarve, all Devarshi, Devarshis, Pitra, ancestors, Devata, demigods, Asam, were Krita-svasthayana, decorated with ornaments, Tatpatnya, their wives, Cha, and Sabhartrika, along with their husbands. Translation of the sacrifices being performed, many Brahmarshis, great sages, ancestral demigods, and other demigods, their wives, all very nicely decorated with ornaments, attended from different parts of the universe. Purport, in any auspicious ceremony, such as a marriage ceremony, sacrificial ceremony, or puja ceremony, it is auspicious for married women to decorate themselves very nicely with ornaments, fine clothing, and cosmetics. These are auspicious signs. Many heavenly women assembled with their husbands, Devarshis, demigods, and Rajarshis, in that sacrifice named the Brihaspati Sava. It is specifically mentioned in this verse that they approach with their husbands, for when a woman is nicely decorated, her husband becomes very cheerful. The nice decorations, ornaments, and dress of the wives of the demigods and sages, and the cheerfulness of the demigods and sages themselves are all auspicious signs for the ceremony. Acts 5-7. The chaste lady Sati, the daughter of Daksha, heard the heavenly denizens flying in the sky conversing about the great sacrifice performed by her father. When she saw that from all directions the beautiful wives of the heavenly denizens, their eyes very beautifully glittering, were near her residence and were going to the sacrifice dressed in fine clothing and ornamented with earrings and necklaces with lockets, she approached her husband, the master of the Buddhas, in great anxiety and spoke as follows. Report, it appears that the residence of Lord Shiva was not on this planet, but somewhere in outer space. Otherwise, how could Sati have seen the airplanes coming from different directions towards this planet and heard the passengers talking about the great sacrifice being performed by Daksha? Sati is described here as Dakshayani because she was the daughter of Daksha. The mention of Upadeva Vara refers to inferior demigods like the Gandharvas, Kinnaras, and Kuragas, who are not exactly demigods, but between the demigods and human beings. They were also coming in planes. The word Sva Mila Abhyase indicates that they were passing right near her residential quarters. The dresses and bodily features of the wives of the heavenly denizens are very nicely described here. Their eyes moved, the earrings and other ornaments glittered and glared. Their dresses were the nicest possible, and all of them had special lockets on their necklaces. Each woman was accompanied by her husband. Thus they looked so beautiful that Sati Dakshayani was compelled to dress similarly and go to the sacrifice with her husband. That is the natural inclination of a woman. Text 8, Sati said, "My dear Lord Shiva, your father-in-law is now executing great sacrifices and all the demigods, having been invited by him for going there. If you desire, you may also go." Therefore, Sati knew the tension between her father and her husband, but still she expressed to her husband, "Lord Shiva, that since such sacrifices were going on at her father's house and so many demigods were going, she also desired to go. But she could not express her willingness directly, and so she told her husband that if he desired to go, then she could also accompany him." In other words, she submitted her desire very politely to her husband. "I think that all my sisters must have gone to this great sacrificial ceremony with their husbands just to see their relatives. I also desire to decorate myself with the ornaments given to me by my father and go there with you to participate in that assembly." Therefore, it is a woman's nature to want to decorate herself with ornaments and nice dresses and accompany her husband to social functions, meet friends and relatives, and enjoy life in that way. This propensity is not unusual for women, for woman is the basic principle of material enjoyment. Therefore, in Sanskrit, the word for woman is stree, which means one who expands the field of material enjoyment. In the material world, there is an attraction between woman and man. This is the arrangement of conditional life. A woman attracts a man, and in that way, the scope of material activities involving house, wealth, children, and friendship increases, and thus, instead of decreasing one's material demands, one becomes entangled in material enjoyment. Lord Shiva, however, is different, and therefore his name is Shiva. He is not at all attracted by material enjoyment. Although his wife Sati was the daughter of a very great leader and was given to him by the request of Brahma, Lord Shiva was reluctant, but Sati, as a woman, the daughter of a king, wanted enjoyment. She wanted to go to her father's house, just as her other sisters might have done, and meet them and enjoy social life. Here she specifically indicated that she would decorate herself with ornaments given by her father. She did not say she would decorate herself with ornaments given by her husband, because her husband was callous about all such matters. He did not know how to decorate his wife and take part in social life, because he was always in ecstasy with thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to the Vedic system, a daughter is given a sufficient dowry at the time of her marriage, and therefore Sati was also given a dowry by her father, and ornaments were included. It is also the custom that the husband gives some ornaments, but here it is particularly mentioned that her husband, being materially almost nothing, could not do so. Therefore, she wanted to decorate herself with the ornaments given by her father. It was fortunate that for Sati that Lord Shiva did not take the ornaments from his wife and spend them for Ganga. And because those who imitate Lord Shiva and smoking ganja exploit everything from household affairs, they take all their wives' property and spend it on smoking, intoxication, and other activities. To extend, my sisters, my mother, sisters, and their husbands, and other affectionate relatives must be assembled there. So if I go, I shall be able to see them, and I shall be able to see the flapping flags, the performance of the sacrifice by the great sages. For these reasons, my dear husband, I am very much anxious to go. Purport, as stated before, the tension between the father-in-law and the son-in-law persisted for a considerable time. Sati, therefore, had not gone to her father's house for a long time. Thus, she was very anxious to go to her father's house, particularly because on that occasion her sisters and their husbands and her mother's sisters would be there. As is natural for a woman, she wanted to dress equally to her other sisters and also be accompanied by her husband. She did not, of course, want to go alone. Text 11. This manifested cosmos is a wonderful creation of the interaction of the three modes or the external energy of the Supreme Lord. This truth is fully known to you. Yet I am but a poor woman, and as you know, I am not conversant with the truth. Therefore, I wish to see my birthplace once more. Purport, Dakshayani Sati knew very well that her husband, Lord Shiva, was not very much interested in the glaring manifestation of the material world, which is caused by the interaction of the three modes of nature. Therefore, she addressed her husband as Paja, which refers to one who has transcended the bondage of birth and death, or one who has realized his eternal position. She stated, the illusion of accepting the perverted reflection of material or cosmic manifestation to be real is not present in you because you are self-realized. For you, the attraction of social life and consideration of someone as father, someone as mother, and someone as sister, which are illusory relationships, is already over. But because I am a poor woman, I'm not so advanced in transcendental realization. Therefore, naturally, these appear to me as real. Only less intelligent persons accept this perverted reflection of the spiritual world to be real. Those who are under the spell of external energy accept this manifestation to be a fact, whereas those who are advanced in spiritual realization know that it is illusion. Actual reality is elsewhere in the spiritual world. But as far as I am concerned, Sati said, I do not have much knowledge about self-realization. I am poor because I do not know the actual facts. I am attracted by my birthplace and I want to see it. One who has attraction for his birthplace, for his body, and for other such items mentioned in the Bhagavatam was considered to be like an ass or a cow. Sati might have heard all this many times from her husband, Lord Shiva, but because she was a woman, Yochit, she still hankered after the same material objects of affection. The word Yochit means one who is enjoying. Therefore, woman is called Yoshita. In spiritual advancement, association with Yoshita is always restricted because if one is like a play doll in the hands of a woman, then all his spiritual advancement is at one stop. It is said, those who are just like playthings in the hands of a woman cannot make any advancement in spiritual realization. Translation, when the sacrifice is being performed, all Brahmarshis, great sages, ancestral demigods, and other demigods, their wives, all nicely decorated with ornaments intended from different parts of the universe. So this is simply a description of a sacrifice held by Daksha and Sati, the wife of Lord Shiva, desired to go to that sacrifice, but of course her husband was not invited because there was a quarrel between Daksha and Lord Shiva. So because Shiva was not invited, technically Sati could not go. So, or even if he was invited, he would be disinclined to go because of the problem with Daksha. So in any case, Shiva did not want to, was not inclined to go to these ceremonies of Daksha. But Sati was. Why? Because, as depicted here, she saw the devatas and others going to this sacrifice, and she was thinking of her relatives and her friends. So she was attracted to the that such a gathering. And here in the last verse, she talks about wanting to see her birthplace or whatever. Hmm. So these, of course, are material desires to socialize and to see the birthplace and see one's relatives, etc., and dress up in wonderful clothing and ornaments. But it is, we'll see that this is also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Even Krishna dresses up. And we'll find descriptions in the spiritual world, everyone is nicely decorated also. Even in Vaikuntha, and even in Raja, Krishna is nicely decorated, and all the other people are nicely decorated. So it is a matter not only of the material, but also the spiritual world. But it is a little different, because in the material world, the decorations, etc., are a matter of material pride or infection by the gunas. And that is exactly what Sati says here. The gunas affect the material world, and I am affected by the gunas. And I have these material desires, and therefore I wish to go to these social functions, etc. So this, of course, is a pretext for the whole pastime that takes place here, where Sati finally annihilates herself. So the main point here, of course, is that this is a material affair. Of course, it is sacrifice, so it is part of the Vedas. But as we've seen, even though these sacrifices do include the worship of Vishnu, many of them are predominated by worship of devatas. And the motive of the sacrifice also is generally material. Prosperity now, prosperity in the future, prosperity in next life. So this is all material motivation. For that reason, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita condemn this aspect of the Vedas as being flowery words. However, we'll see the devatas are involved in this, and we'll find on the human beings also get involved in this. So this is a particular becomes a particular philosophy called the Purvamimamsa philosophy, explained in detail by Jaimini. So in this philosophy, the whole idea is to do the sacrifices and live happily birth after birth somewhere in the material world, on Svargaloka or wherever. And one doesn't have to worry about anything else. So there's no question of liberation from the material world. Happiness is taking birth in the material world and doing sacrifice and getting material benefits. So this has become a philosophy for some people on reading the Vedas. And of course they will take the example here of devatas also doing this, performing these sacrifices and becoming very happy and whatever. So it has become a philosophy. Of course, it is not current now in the material world, but even 1,000 years ago it was current. And we know in the time of Buddha, that was one of the main causes that he rejected the Vedas, because of the sacrifices. They were, everyone was absorbed in sacrifices. So it did play a big role for some people. Nevertheless, it is clearly condemned by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, where he says this is, you know, all this Vedas karma kanda section of the Vedas is in the gunas, and we have to go beyond the gunas. So it is part of the Vedas, but it is inferior part of the Vedas. So this is the understanding of those in higher consciousness. So those who have surpassed this aspect of the Vedas will go on to jnana or yoga or bhakti, and they will try to get out of this position of the material world. But it is not understood by many people, and therefore we see here the Devadas are involved in this, and in India so many people also were attached to this type of philosophy. So therefore we have to have the proper perspective on this and understand that though it is Vedic, it is also inferior. And though it's recommended for some types of people, it is not recommended now. So Vedavyas wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam as the final conclusion of everything. And therefore, we have to accept that conclusion. So, what does he do? He says that everything else is cheating. It is not practical for us to do these other processes. Even though they are Vedic, they are no longer practical. So therefore, they are not advised and rejected. So the only process remaining is bhakti. And this is the only recommendation for the people of Kali Yuga. So though these other processes are in the Vedas, they are not recommended as the process to follow. And therefore they should be rejected. So, practical for other ages, but not for Kali Yuga. So though here the Devadas are involved in this, and so many other people are involved in the sacrifices. For the human beings of Kali Yuga, this is not a valid process anymore. Why? Because people will not advance beyond this. They'll become so involved in performance of sacrifice and getting the material results that they will not advance beyond that and become detached from the material world at all. And so, therefore, this is considered to be deceptive, flowery words, and rejected. So, though it is Vedic, it is also rejected, ultimately. And the only valid process is Bhakti Yoga. So that is the main purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in spite of seeing all these different yogis described in different places in the Bhagavatam, we should understand that these are secondary processes and not practical for the